This podcast is brought to you by DKP & Co. Chartered Accountants. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Yes, hello again. George Denekian along with Louise Taffer.
Hi.
And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, hello there. This lovely lady here has got a very busy schedule worked out for the next hour. Where are we going over the next 60 minutes?
We'll be travelling to Sydney, then we'll be going across to the west.
To Perth, which is going to be the hub for just about everything that happens in the A-League this weekend. The reason for that, of course, it's the grand final weekend, the match being played at Optus Stadium. We'll find out just how ticket sales are going. Apparently it sounds fantastic. A couple of other things. We've got an opportunity to catch up with representatives from both the clubs. Sydney, of course, chuffed that they've made yet another grand final. Perth, absolutely smitten. Tony Sage just sitting there smiling because all his investments and all his ideas at the beginning of the season have borne fruit. And we'll find out more about that. 8 o'clock tonight, after we finish and get out of here, Chris Turpos will join Josh Parrish. That's at 8 o'clock for the Preston Lions Club Show. If you haven't heard it, it's a terrific show. They have a lot of fun. It's called The Lions Den. I'm sure the boys will get to talk about last Monday's State League One game against Whittlesea. Not sure if it went the way they wanted it to go. And, of course, if you're wondering who might be joining them in the studio, I think target man Sam Mason-Smith is one of the people that will be appearing. The other will be the former defender, John Angelovsky. I believe we have a very special guest coming up very shortly. As usual, our journo segment will feature the man from The Age, Michael Lynch, who is in a little better mood. I think he was a bit starstruck last week when we spoke to him just after Tottenham Hotspur had, gazumped everybody and got into the final of the UEFA Champions League and to take on Liverpool. It's going to be very, very, very special time. I should add, one of the things that has been most appealing to me was that I wanted very much to listen into For Vuck's Sake on the Monday after some of the amazing results last week when Victory got absolutely bushwhacked by, or I should say ambushed by, a sensational Sydney side. No one ever saw that coming. The boys from For Vuck's Sake, I think, have been traumatised. Buds, I think, is going to take a sabbatical. It may well last something like 6 months. I'd love him to give us a ring if he's anywhere near FNR. So, Buds, I'm prepared to take on anything that you need to, find an answer for. Josh Parrish, of course, has been catatonic. We've been giving him as much support as possible to get him ready for the Lions Den tonight. We think he'll get there in time. But it's been one quite amazing week. We're going to check the ins and outs of the grand final sides. Look, at this time of the year, you want both teams to be able to offer their full squads. Let's hope it is just that. But who's our first special guest?
Well, you touch on Melbourne Victory and that heartbreaking defeat for them.
Yep.
And fittingly, we have Sydney FC striker Adam Lafondra
joining us back on the show. You decided to go and find the number one target man for Sydney and get him on board?
Of course.
Okay. Adam, are you joining us? Hello.
I am. Hi.
It's great to have you on board. I just want to say it's the second time this year that we've had you on FNR. I'm just wondering, can you remember this moment when we interviewed you last? You had this to say.
I think most people struggle when they've got more time because, like you say, you give the keeper to take a step back, a step forward, close the angle, put that element of doubt in your mind. Whereas if you take it first time, you've taken everything, taken all the decisions out of his hands, really, and he's got to react to you rather than you reacting to him.
That was you giving us a sense of what it takes to be a really cool and effective striker. I think you basically followed all the advice you gave yourself.
Yeah, well, I try to stick to what my principles are in front of goal, and when I'm getting chances, as I do, I like to think I put the majority of them away.
Look, it's been a terrifically successful season. Has it been as rewarding for you personally, mixing with the guys, finding out about the league and getting a sense of what it takes to travel the vast distances and still do it week in, week out?
Yeah, it's been a really good challenge and, you know, I've relished it. I think the boys have been second to none. They've been fantastic with me and really helped me settle and, you know, really helped my family settle. The club has really helped, you know, everything on that side of it as well, which has made the transition so easy. With regards to travelling, I'm used to travelling, but maybe not by plane all the time. But, you know, obviously that's one of the obstacles there, but you know, it's easy to get over. You know, I just want to play football and that's all. Anyone wants to do really easy professional footballer.
We're talking to Sydney FC striker Adam Lafondra, who's had a fantastic season. How many goals, Louise, has he scored?
23 goals in total.
23 in total.
Across all competitions.
Yeah, just fantastic. I wonder, did you get out of Bolton at the right time?
Well, it seems that way, yeah. You know, obviously in the summer, I didn't foresee these problems for them. Obviously, we had a minor hiccup in the pre-season.
Yeah,
we went on strike over a late payment, but I didn't foresee what was going to come around the corner next to, you know, with all the financial trouble they've had and obviously even the football as well, because you know, it's horrible to see such a great former club like that go through, you know, the turmoil they're going through right now.
You're talking about one of the great old clubs of Britain, Bolton. The Wanderers have been a fantastically storied side with some of the best players to ever play the game in England playing for the club. Just as poor as their season has been, Sydney's has been terrific, and you've been a big part of it. How have you found the pitches to play on? Are they firmer than what you're accustomed to?
Yeah, a lot firmer, obviously. You know, some pitches are, you know, really good. I've really enjoyed playing at Amy Park. But I think that's one of the best stadiums in Australia that I've played
don't
on.
Remind me. Don't remind me, Adam.
even the Adelaide one, I think that's a brilliant stadium. You know, I think if every club could have a stadium like that, I think, you know, you go a long way to locking in a really good atmosphere for football and giving people a really great experience as well. You know, obviously, and the football takes care of itself on the pitch.
And speaking of atmosphere, I'm sure you've experienced a lot of great atmospheres, especially in the Asian Champions League this season. How have you enjoyed, you know, also being in that competition as well?
Yeah, I've loved it. You know, coming out here, it was one of the draws to come out here, was playing in the Asian Champions League and playing against some really good players. And I think we played some of our best football in the Asian Champions League. If you look at the home games, we played against Ulsan in Shanghai, and obviously the game at Shanghai, we were scintillating really, and we were fortunate not to get the results in all three of them games, which was, you know, have a drastic change to how the table looks in the Champions League. But obviously that's the fine margin to playing against obviously top teams.
And you were playing some attractive football in that home game against Shanghai SIPG. Is that how the team wants to play in this upcoming grand final?
Well, yeah, of course. You know, I think we'd want to play like we played against Melbourne, really, if I'm honest. But we'll take anything, really. We just want to win. That's, you know, the be all and end all. We all want to win. We don't care how it comes.
Yeah, that's spoken.
Within the grand final.
That's spoken like a striker, a true striker. We just want to win. Adam Lafondra, I hear that you're pretty keen to recruit more talent from England to play in the A-League.
Well, if they ask me what... what it's like, then yeah, of course, I've spoken to a few players who've, you know, expressed an interest in coming out here, and I've just said obviously great things about the league and, you know, what it can do for you off the field as well as on the field. You know, my family life is, you know, second to none really now. I'm 10 minutes from a beach, which if it was 10 minutes from a beach in England, it'd probably have a shopping trolley in the shopping centre, so you know, you don't really get that.
Adam Lafondra, you're bragging now. 10 minutes from the beach. Which beach is it, Adam?
Manly.
Manly, North Shore boy. I was a minute and a half from the beach, and I was in Tamarama. Do you know where Tamarama is, Adam?
Oh, wow. I'm not too sure.
Just around the corner from Bondi. You guys on the North Shore, okay, you're all the same.
He's one of them boys.
Listen, after the grand final, we have the longest off-season on the planet. What do you plan to do?
Well, I think we're in quite early. So, you know, just rest, recuperate, look to better the season I've had this season. This season's just been a benchmark for me, come back stronger next season and score more goals with more trophies.
That's fantastic. So you have how much longer on the contract, Adam?
I've got another year. So I've got next year, and then I've got an option for the third year as well. So we'll sort of go from there.
And what's the family mood like? Are they really enjoying the transition?
Yeah, they love it. You know, my middle and my eldest girls are in school. They love the school to bits. It's been really good for them, really. And, you know, my youngest goes to, obviously, childcare, and she loves that as well. So, obviously, with everything else around, you know, Sydney and, you know, Australia with the weather, it's hard not to love the life here. And we've got a pool at home, and the kids love that. They, you know, like Three Little Mermaids, just diving in and out of pool. So it's absolutely outstanding for them.
When you ring home, does anyone understand what you're doing, or if they think you've become an Australian with the accent?
Well, yeah, more my girls and obviously my children, they speak to my parents. They've got a little bit of a twang in their voice now, and you know, they put it on a little bit further when they're on the FaceTime to them. And,
fantastic.
And, you know, and my mum's a little bit heartbroken. She's like, no, don't be doing that. But, you know, she's a four-year-old soul, but the girls are winding up a little bit with it.
And how has this week been for you? Because obviously you've never played in an A-League grand final. So have preparations been a little bit different or still the same?
No, we stick to our routine, I think. Obviously, we fly out to Perth tomorrow, getting two training sessions in before we obviously play on Sunday. It's not really too much different than what we'd normally do. You know, the boys are chomping at the bit to play, and you know, we just got to treat it as any normal game, because if you dress it up too much, you might overthink things, or you know, just not give the best you can be by obviously overthinking the occasion.
When do you guys leave for Perth?
Early morning tomorrow.
Oh, that's good.
I think we're on about 11 o'clock fight.
Adam Lafondre, just before we let you go, I'd like to run something past you. The championship has been red hot. The games, we now know who the top two sides to be promoted. It's Norwich and it's Sheffield. And, of course, the third side hasn't been decided yet. But a couple of huge results. Aston Villa got through yesterday to play in a key game. And today, one of the hottest teams in the championship, Leeds, has just fallen right out of the picture. What do you make of that?
Yeah, Brandon O'Neill's a Leeds fan, so I had a little bit of the other side that, just to say, like, he was obviously saying we're going to get top two, and I said Leeds won't even get promoted. But it's quite nice to obviously that to come through to fruition for me. You know, Leeds have been a great team all season. I've obviously watched the championship, and you know, it's unfortunate they fell, but it seems to be like the story of them. Like they all seem to get so close, but be so far away from it.
Adam, you've played in that competition. You understand the pressures. Just how difficult does it get at this time of the season when the competition basically is over and you're still fighting for the precious opportunity to get into the Premier League? What's that enormous pressure like?
It's just everything, you know. Obviously, the billet is like a £200 million game. So, you know, all eyes are on you. Championship's probably one of the most watched leagues as well, definitely in Europe, because it's such a demanding league, a technical league as well. So, you know, the everything's going to be geared up to, you know, watch this big, massive, you know, sort of lottery game, really, because realistically, if you get promoted, you win the lottery, and, you know, your club can go from strength to strength. Just look at Wolves. You know, they invested heavily in the Championship, got promoted, and then they've not looked back, and, you know, they look like a top six team coming on to next season.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They prepared properly. They made the investment, but they also chose well. And they've had some fantastic results through the year, if you think about it. 100% spot on. Adam Lafondre, thank you very much for joining us. Travel safely tomorrow with the crew. It's Sydney FC up against Perth Glory. And we'll be talking to Perth very, very shortly. Thanks for joining us, and all the very best for the off-season.
Yeah, thanks very much, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All the best. Isn't that great? Adam Lafondre. He's gearing up. He reckons he can play even better next season. Oh, gee. Stand by all those defences. Encouragingly, there'll be another team that he has to play against, because we now know that Western United are good to go. The only person that hasn't been named as yet officially is the coach. I noticed the goalkeeper has come over from Wellington Phoenix.
And we also heard today that Max Burgess has departed the Phoenix.
Now, get out of here. Where do you think he's going?
Where do you think he's going?
Oh, probably MacArthur FC.
No.
I think... Oh, sure. What did you make of the announcement in New South Wales of the next A-League licence? We now know the name. It's MacArthur FC. What do you make of the colours?
I like them.
Yeah. Do you know what they remind me of?
What?
Think of the, is it the Saints in the NFL in America? The gold, the black, and the white?
Something similar along
those
lines.
Yeah, yeah. Or is it the Raiders? I'm not quite sure. But
idea, because I just watch football, the real game.
Of course you do, the real game, the round ball code. No, normally when Louise goes like this, it's a heart, but in this case it's the round ball. That's terrific. He looks and sounded pretty much like he's comfortable and having a great time. And it never ceases to amaze that when you're comfortable and you're enjoying life, it tends to show in everything that you do, whether you're working or you're playing. And in his case, his work is his play.
So, it is.
Fantastic stuff.
And he's very excited.
So 23 goals all up. How many in the actual A-League competition?
16.
16. That's a pretty good return, isn't it?
It is. It's very good.
And he's going to get better.
I'm sure, as he said, it's only his first season in the A-League, so, you know, he can only build on that.
FNR, George Danikian with Louise Taffer. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, I'm the guy with the grey hair. And you're off to some interesting adventures soon. Are you going anywhere? You want to tell me?
No.
No. Okay.
Nowhere at all. What okay. about you?
You know where I'm going
no.
tonight?
No,
you
no, don't told? Talk. Yeah. Don't talk.
You're
did
supposed
you get,
to ask me.
Did you get tickets to the UEFA Champions League final?
Oh, gee.
Are you going to Madrid,
am
George?
I going to Madrid? It's still to be decided. There's a person who will remain nameless, but she must be listened to. And so far, I'm on a very tight leash. But I am going, of course, to South Melbourne tonight. I'm going to the Bells Hotel to hear a couple of guys who love the game nearly as much as you. Andrew Stato, Andrew Howe, Stato's his nickname. He's been the statistician of choice for just about everybody in the game for the better part of the last 15 years. And young Mercer, who's very good guy. He's he loves the game, the interesting thing is Andrew Mercer and Greg Werner have done something unique. They've put together, compiled an encyclopedia of Matildas. It's an A to Z guide of just about every player who's turned up and played for the Matildas over the past 40 years. Think about that. Think of the work that Greg Werner and others have had to put together. Consider, and this is the important thing, especially for Athos Syrianos, for Nick DiBarlo, for Josh Parrish, for Louise Taffer. Mind you, she has her own encyclopedia for that. the Women's World Cup is coming up in France in June, and the Matildas are about to take part in their seventh successive World Cup. They've also played in three Olympic Games. If you want a complete guide and you want to know a bit more about each and every Matilda playing, this is the thing you've got to have in your inventory. It's called the Encyclopedia of the Matildas, and it's available through Fair Play. You can either buy it direct from the publishers or indeed, we'll find out if anybody else. I think it's online. It's available. How many Matildas do you think have played since 1978?
I have no idea. I'm not good at trivia.
239.
Wow.
And of the 239, how many have come from Victoria? Just 16. So the majority, right? Not all of them, but the majority have come from a place called New South Wales.
Hmm. Well, speaking of Matildas, George,
yes.
Our Socceroos are also one of our other national teams. And on the line right now is a former Socceroo, former Glory captain,
yeah,
and current Perth Glory football director, Jacob Burns.
You mean Jacob, who does everything at Perth these days, except he's not allowed to run on and score any goals anymore. Jacob Burns, great to have you on board, mate.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Huge congratulations to all the Tonys and to Jacob and to everybody else in the squad. What a fantastic journey.
Oh, it's been a fantastic season and one more big one to go to finish it off.
Can I say something? Peter Philopoulos said to me a couple of months ago, listen, they're going to create a bit of history. There are some fantastic people there, but you guys don't give Jacob Burns enough credit. He's a huge rap for you, mate. I'm serious. He loves the way you're going to say
Jacob's not one of them.
No, he loves the way you've matured, and I tell you that that's a huge credit to you. It's the stuff that you've made, that investment you've made, and listen, it's bearing fruit. It's no surprise that you guys have just about ticked every box that we've asked you to tick all year.
Yeah, look, it's the journey started some time ago, and Pete played his hand in that as well. He's done a fantastic job here for us. It's been great, and the players have bought in, the coaching staff that have come along have done a fantastic job, and it's just reward. The season that we've had in winning the premiership is one thing, and now going through the finals to hopefully lift the trophy come Sunday would be, as I mentioned before, the icing on the cake.
And Jacob, how are things looking at the gate for the grand final? Do you have an update for us on the ticket sales?
I believe there was somewhere in the vicinity of 53,000 sold.
Wow.
Last time I asked.
Wow.
Now, that probably has gone up. I know it's very limited now, and it's fantastic. It's, there's a real buzz about the town in Perth, and it's exactly what we've set out to create.
I've got to say, Foxtel will be absolutely thrilled because it'll mean there's a fantastic atmosphere and they'll be able to broadcast that to the rest of the country.
Yeah, exactly. I think there was a lot of talk about playing the game there and how many we would get. But we've always known that the Perth public have been craving a team that could make a final and be successful. They've obviously had some great times in the past in the late 90s, early 2000s, and in the A League we've managed to make quite a few finals, but not managed to win the GF. So hopefully it's our turn this time, and if the public can get behind us and come out and there's 55,000-60,000 people, that will definitely help our cause.
Jacob Burns, I reckon half the reason why you're getting nearly 50,000-60,000 people rocking up is no one's ever tried the purple burger before.
That's right,
mate. And, you've covered everything.
I did see a picture of that through the week. It's
that's a cat. Yeah, that's
it's
great.
It's gone crazy. Town's gone crazy.
Tell
it's
me, it tastes great.
Yes, I haven't had one myself, but I will try one, especially if we do win.
Oh, that's fantastic stuff.
Jacob, where do you think the 53,000-plus fans are coming from? Like, what do you think it's a combination of?
Oh, I think, like finals, they create that atmosphere. I think the semi was, it was a huge week of football.
Mate, that was epic.
To see what Liverpool
that was epic last week.
Barcelona. It was, and it was, I think that, Perth, they do like to get behind winners. We are in a town where we have two big AFL teams, and it's nice. They do get behind. You've seen the Wildcats do very, very well this year, and I knew that if we could get up there and win a premiership, that they would they'd come back in big numbers, which they have done. And now it's up to us to sustain that success. It's not about the build is not about, and the team that we've created is not just about this season alone. It's about the seasons to come. We have a very, very good squad for the next season again, with a lot of our players retained, and they've added people like Bruno Fornaroli to our roster. And that's,
he must be new. I've never heard of him. Thanks for that, Jacob. Loved that.
Yeah, small player that used to play down in Melbourne, but we're delighted to have him on board. And that really is speaks volumes of what the players and the coaches have managed to do this year to attract that calibre of player and to retain the calibre of players, but also to recruit the players that we've been able to recruit. That's down to the head coach and the reputation that he comes with. And you can see this season what a fantastic job he's done. Long may that continue.
Can I just ask, when do you guys get a chance to play or practice on the pitch, on the actual ground?
They've already done it.
Oh, they have?
We have,
they?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I missed that.
To be on there yesterday.
Geez, you're proactive.
Yeah, look, I think there's an AFL game on Friday night, so the times are limited.
Oh, no.
It is a hard surface, so, you know, you want to get on there early and really kind of get a good hit out on there to get a feeling.
Can you do a favour for me? Can you make sure you get in early Saturday morning and water the pitch?
Yes.
I want it slick, boy.
Yeah. I think the guys that down there doing a fantastic job, and a lot can be said about the pitch, but yeah, it's fine. It's for both teams are going to have to adjust and deal with probably not what they're used to, but that's what GFs are all about. They're often played in big venues where you can get as many people in as you can, and our guys are more than prepared for it.
Mate, last week you had an absolute epic, one of the great games of the A-League season, and I mean great with a capital G. It had everything, and Mr. Reddy did everything. He converted penalties, he saved penalties, and he acted as the custodian at the back. What a game for the club, what a game for the fans, and what a game for the whole Foxtel audience.
Yeah, you're right. I think, like we mentioned before, what the week provided in football, and we were the final kind of piece of that, is why we love the game so much and why people like myself harp on about it and are quite biased, and it is a world game and it's the best game to support and watch, purely for that reason, because you don't know what it's going to throw up. We knew it was going to be a tough game privately behind closed doors. Our preparation, we knew it was going to be a tough game, and it was. And credit to Adelaide, they threw everything at us. And credit to our guys who, we talk about the character in our players throughout the whole season, and that was clearly evident again in the semi-final when you have victory in your sights with a minute to go in regular time to go into injury time and then lead again. At 3-2 to concede again with a minute, most teams or lesser teams and lesser characters in the team would probably not be able to let that go.
Yeah, drop
and
their
not
heads.
Be able to focus on, yeah, yeah. And not be able to focus on a penalty shootout. But, some of our players have shown us again that they stood up and they were ready for the challenge in front of them. And no one bigger than Rocket, who has had a fantastic season, and delighted for him and the rest of the guys that he could contribute in a way that we expect and that he expects in a penalty shootout when it's him facing the penalty taker. He was extremely focused, and he's done a fantastic job, including the rest of our guys that did so well to push us through. And I think it's going to prove to be a defining moment for us and the challenge that was in semi-final to take us into this GF on Sunday.
And did you get a case of deja vu when that game went into penalties?
I did. To be honest, I'm always watching from up in the technical box, and a few of us and myself and a few of the coaches are up there and support staff. And I had to go down pitch side for the shootout, which I don't normally do. But I had to be there on the sideline to view it and go from there. It was fantastic. I don't think I had many nails left by the end of it. It was really nice. And I suppose for myself, being in that situation, I could really feel how the guys would be feeling at that moment. It's never easy to put up your hand and take one, and B, to be able to and technically execute what's been asked of you and putting the ball in the back of the net. It might seem easy for some, from a spot kick, but I can assure you it's a fair challenge, both mentally and physically.
DNA is an amazing thing, as are genes. I grew up in Sydney watching Rocket Rod Reddy play for St George in the rugby league era when Saints were fantastic, and he played marvellous football for St George and also for Australia. And I never imagined that his son would shrink or do the wrong thing when the time came and he was going to be tested. I always thought he'd stood up and he was magnificent. So credit to everyone involved, credit to him. And again, like everyone has been saying you've done some fantastic work, but one more to go.
Thanks very much.
And Jacob, if you had to choose, what's been your favourite moment this season?
Good question. Yeah.
Look, I was really humbled by, you know, you set out your sights early. I think the vision or the project, if you want to call it, more than a year ago now, to change the direction of where we're heading and hopefully achieve some success in winning a premiership and winning some silverware and qualifying for the Asian Champions League. I think that moment when we did, we knew that mathematically we had won the premiership. That was a very humbling moment for myself, and I'm sure for the rest of the hierarchy and our coaching staff and players included, that you know, it was very rewarding knowing that what started as a bit of a vision and a potential chance at creating some success, for it to be reality was really hit home at that moment when we knew we had won the premiership on points.
Fantastic. Made history. Well done to you and the team and the Tonys. Wish you all the best. We'll be watching with interest and, have a great week, what's left of it, and then very best of luck. May the best team win.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
Good on you. Isn't that fantastic? He's just chuffed, and it's important. It really is. And they're now saying 53, 54, 55,000 already.
Well, the record, current record for an A-League Grand Final is 55,000. 436.
I reckon they could knock it over.
I think
we might see 60,000.
Apparently, what they're saying is they might even add an extra 500 seats to Optus Stadium.
Do it now. Let's talk about the ins and outs. It's Perth Glory against Sydney. The game, of course, Perth Sunday. I think it's 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, 4:30 Perth time. The word is that the squad we've been given. Tando Valafi, who is the ex-City boy, is the reserve keeper. Jason Davidson's there, Shane Lowry, Ivan Franic, Dino Djulbic, Joel Chianese, Andy Keogh. He just continues to score goals. Give him an opportunity, just as Brendan Sandilab does.
Super sub.
Good to see Matthew Sparanovic, available, because he's had some problems early in the season with injury. Tomislav Michela's there. Diego Castro, how do you reckon he will impose himself? Chris Economidis, Jake Brimmer, Fabio Ferreira, Scott Neville, Juan De, Liam Reddy, who we talked about, and the man who wears the 88, the man they call Killer, Neil Kilkenny. Yes, a couple of players to be omitted from that side. It's most interesting. And looking at Sydney's squad, Andrew Redmayne, who's been, like the ever-ready man, you just plug him in, he just keeps doing a good job. It's just fantastic. Aaron Carver has been doing some interesting things and, of course, scored the opening goal last week against Sydney, and then we saw a landslide. I never imagined that Sydney would just waltz past victory. You know what? Victory has had a pretty interesting season. They've played some terrific football. We saw glimpses of some magic. But to see them go out like that, that was an aberration.
I was shocked.
Yep, you were not 6-1. Alone.
6-1. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
You don't see that.
No. Let's get back to some of those boys that will be fronting for Sydney. Alex Wilkinson has been magnificent. Josh Brillante, Michael Zulo, who we said would be an important player, came back to play for Sydney, and he made a difference last week against especially the victory. Paolo Retre, the man we talked to earlier in our program, Adam Lafondre, Milos Ninkovic. How good is he? How good is Milos Ninkovic? Well, we'll find out, because it's Ninkovic against Castro.
What a battle.
What a battle. And the guy who also gave me a glimpse of what he must have been like when he was about 22, a guy called Alex Brosk. That goal, those couple of goals he scored, they were vintage.
He was loving his last big blue, wasn't
as
he?
Was Brendan O'Neill. Anthony Caceres made a start, which was terrific. Jacob Tratt is another one who's on the squad list. I can see here. Alex Sisak. I noticed that Reza has been chosen. Good to see. I'd like to see him play well. Sam De Jong came off early. He had done enough and really impressed against Victory. Ryan Grant, who is the talisman for Sydney, isn't he? and Joel King and a couple of players from that to be omitted.
I bet you don't know who Joel King is.
No, I know who Jake Wall is, but I don't know who Jake King is. Who is he?
Joel King.
Joel King. I thought you said joking. No, I wasn't joking. Sorry.
Joel King.
Joel King, yes.
Part of the last ever FFA Centre of Excellence intake.
Why did I know you were going to take me there?
He's a defender and he's 18 and just recently signed a contract extension with Sydney FC.
Can I just tell you, I was looking at some of the squad here and three things I need to know about. How is it that you can lose three players from your squad because of ACLs?
Oh, it's crazy.
Ben Warland, Trent Bahagia and Chris Sevilla. That is awful. You know, you lose one player for a season to an ACL, you know, that's one thing. But three, what are that? They're going to have to review that. And I'm looking forward to hearing from Michael Lynch, who should be joining us very, very shortly. This is Evenings on FNR. George Danikian along with Louise Taffer. If you're listening to us on the app, hello. We're streaming right across Australia and across the world. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, again, I'm the one waving. This one, the one smiling over there is Louise. What are you going to ask Michael Lynch when he joins us?
I want to talk to him about Melbourne Victory because reports have come out today saying that Kevin Muscat is attracting interest from West Asia, particularly Qatar.
Seriously?
Seriously.
He's got another year on the contract.
Would now be the right time for
him to leave? No, this sounds smacks of panic mode. That's not Victory. No, no, no. They've got a chairman there that's way too smart for that. I would suggest to you the board will have a long, long think. They shouldn't do anything drastic. But if he wants to go and if there's a genuine need, look, it'd be a terrific career move. It would be an interesting observation for his family. Would he take the whole family over or would he do what so many businessmen and women do, and that is go over, fulfill their role and fly back regularly? So I'm just wondering. Muscat, would Muscat leave to take up a job in something like Qatar?
Maybe.
Mm.
What do you think?
I don't think so.
You don't think he would?
No, I think he likes his coffee. Port Melbourne makes some great coffee. I can't see him venturing too far.
You used to live next to him, didn't you?
Not quite next to him, but very close to him. Yes, we always knew where he was and what he was up to and what he was doing. It was terrific. He was an ex-South Melbourne boy. So, yes, and a legend of the club. We'll take a break. When we come back, an opportunity to catch up with Michael Lynch. We'll also talk about some of the happenings in the championship this morning. Wow, some crazy results. And Marcelo Bielsa, I was hoping that he would be along with his team in the Premier League next year, but it's not going to happen. They got dumped.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR. Football Nation Radio.
I'm getting ready to go down and find out a bit more about this launch of the Encyclopedia of Matildas. It's happening at South Melbourne tonight at, I think it's Bell's Hotel. And I'm going to catch up with Benita Mercedes, who is the publisher of the book, and also going to catch up with Andrew Howe and Mr. Mercer, two of the authors. It's great to see co-authorship. Two really enthusiastic, very passionate people who love the game. Greg Werner has loved the game and he does so much research and work. And Stato has been the best statistician, you know, I think from the NSL days. He's been terrific. He's covered just about every stat there is. And whether it's Fox or whether it's, I think, Michael Lynch. Lynch, he does his own homework. He's very fastidious and very demanding, wants to make sure that every stat he has is 100% right. So I'll be very interested to see what the boys have to say. And I'm hoping there are a few Matildas in South Melbourne tonight. Last night they launched the Encyclopedia in Sydney and Glebe, and they had about 20 Matildas on hand to give both Stato and Greg Werner, you know, heaps of grief. But that had a lot of fun. Took some great photos. So if Melbourne now can back up what Sydney did last night, it should be a cracking launch of what it promises to be a terrific book, The Encyclopedia of Matildas, with the World Cup coming up in June.
I've never asked you, who's your favourite Matilda?
My favourite Matilda? Oh, look, at the end of the day, it's got to be our red-hot superstar, Sam. And I love it because of the stance that she took and the response she offered when she was approached by the AFLW in Perth. They said, "Would you like to come and play?" And she said, "Why would I want to play AFLW when I'm playing the biggest game in the world and I can travel the world?" And I thought, Sam Kerr, you are my hero. And no, she hasn't put one foot wrong. And she's, as you can see, she's been embraced by Nike. She's been embraced by just about everyone who needs a fabulous, you know, not talisman, but ambassador. And she's been terrific. And when we had some problems at the beginning of the season, in the beginning of the year, Sam Kerr just was measured, was strong, was really positive and supportive. And she's just a very mature young woman who I hope has the World Cup of all World Cups.
Well, I'm pleased to hear. Now I know.
Now you know.
Now I know.
Never doubt it again.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Louise Taffer with George Denikian. And
yes.
Joining us now is The Age's Michael Lynch. Lynchy, great to have you on the show.
Yes, hello, how are you?
Good, my boy. I'm very, very excited about what happened overnight in Britain. I cannot believe that Marcelo Bielsa's side, Leeds, that's basically promised the world at the beginning of the season, has fallen out in such spectacular fashion after leading.
Hello, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, right. Yeah, your last word was leading. Well, they were 1-0 up, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
After the first leg. But, you know, momentum is everything. Derby got on a roll. And, you know, these playoff games, so much of it is in your head and how you react to difficult circumstances. You go up, you go down. And, you know, fair play to Derby. I mean, winning 4-2 away from home at Leeds is not an easy thing to do, never mind in a game like that. So, generally, in these games, the teams who should go through tend to go through, you know. Mm. So they now face Villa, don't they?
That's right, and Wembley.
And judging by what you hear, Frank Lampard might be in the Premier League anyway, irrespective of the result. If Chelsea sack Sarri and employ Lampard. Excuse that noise, it's a motorbike. I'm walking down towards the Matilda's book launch. That you were just talking about
at the Bells Hotel.
Yeah. So,
by the way, I've got a message for you from Benita, actually, Michael.
Yeah.
The event's been moved to the main room upstairs, okay?
Oh, has it?
Yep. So don't go looking for the wrong room. I'll see you there very, very shortly once we finish here.
Oh, well, fair enough.
And it should be exciting.
Anyway.
They had a terrific night with a launch in Sydney yesterday. They had a lot of Matildas on hand. But then again,
they would be. They were in Sydney, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And I'm reminded just how many Matildas have come from New South Wales. Do you know how many Matildas have come out of Victoria in since 1978, which is the year
no,
that was formed?
No, sorry.
Just 16.
Sorry,
just 16.
Well, there are a lot more footballers of both sexes, aren't there, in New South Wales?
Yeah, absolutely.
Numerically, you know, it is the sort of, we might have the biggest A-League team here in Victory, but New South Wales is really the capital of football, isn't it?
Look, as a Sydney boy, I don't have a problem with it.
The number of players, all that sort of thing, registrations.
Michael, as a Sydney boy, I don't have a problem with saying that sort of thing, but there are people in other parts of the world that go, no.
Well, I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying it's a fact, isn't it? There are a lot more players registered up there and a lot more people up there, playing the game.
Yep, absolutely. What did you make of the arrival of MacArthur FC?
I mean, it all sounded, apart from the audio visuals not working for a while, it all sounded like it went off brilliantly and they donating all the cash to charity. That was a masterful PR move, getting Ante Milicic, an even better move as coach. So, you got to say a terrific sort of launch. And isn't it ironic? I mean, they won't be playing for another 15 months and they've got a coach. And we all know that Mark Rudin will be at Western United, but they still haven't officially unveiled him.
Could it be that he maybe wants an incentive program or an incentive contract and they can't quite get the numbers right?
Who, Rudin?
Rudan, yes. Marco.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
I'm trying to put a positive spin on it, Michael, that's all.
Oh, well, you know, they do what they do. They sort of announce players joining them during a week when, you know, the Matildas is the main story and the grand final is the main story. I mean, it's their choice to dribble that, but they don't get as big a run, you know, by doing it this week as they would have done maybe holding on to later. But a lot of these players, once they've left their clubs, the clubs put it out there anyway. So it's a no-win situation for them.
And Lynchy, moving on but staying with managers, Melbourne Victory there's been a report that's come out today saying that Melbourne Victory's head coach Kevin Muscat is actually attracting interest from West Asia, in particular a coaching gig in Qatar. What do you make of this?
Well, good luck to him if he's attracting interest and he can get a big money move and he wants to go. I mean, you know, he's got a year left on his deal at Victory. I'd be very surprised if Kevin broke his contract unless there was a degree of mutuality about it. I mean, interest. Where's that report? I've had 2 days off, so I haven't seen it. Where's the report come from?
That's on FTBL.
On what, sorry? Oh, like the old 442?
Yeah.
Who's written it?
Who has written it? Aidan Ormond.
Oh, well, fair enough. Aidan's usually quite
trustworthy.
And it may just be agent talk. Who knows? Mm. You know, but if the interest is genuine, firstly, is Kevin Muscat interested in uprooting his life and his family and going to the Middle East Qatar?
Correct.
Secondly, I'm sure the money would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Secondly, would Victory be prepared to let him leave and walk away from the last year of his contract? It wouldn't be the sort of thing. I mean, Musk has been at that club since day one.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? He was the first player. I can't see him leaving and breaking his contract. There's still unfinished business for Kevin.
Yep, he'd want to come back.
You know, the Asian Champions League is a festering sore for Melbourne Victory, and it must be for Kevin because he's never really got him anywhere, you know, in that, apart from once getting out of the group. So, I would think it's one of those watch this space and we'll see.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with Michael. I can't see it happening. Interesting discussion.
But now we are like in the discussion talking about this. If he did leave, who would come and fill his position? Who would be the perfect fit for Melbourne Victory to succeed Kevin Muscat?
Who would be the perfect fit? Who knows? I mean, they're the biggest club in the country in terms of members. They average the best crowds. They could probably just invite all comers and see who they got. I mean, you know, until you see who's interested, until you see who wants to come to Australia,
correct.
Until you see who's in the field, there's no point in saying who would be the perfect fit. Could be Frank Lampard, who knows?
I doubt it very much.
But, you know, I mean, until you actually sort of have a vacancy and you put it out there, it's a bit like fishing, isn't it? Or, you know, throwing out your lines and just seeing where the bites come from.
Michael Lynch, we're talking to Michael Lynch from The Age. He's doing a Journo segment on FNR. George Tanikin with Louise Taffer. Speaking of putting a lot of fishing lines out, the A-League looks like it might end up with a bumper crowd at Optus Stadium. We spoke to Jacob Burns earlier, and we're hearing at least 53,000 to 55,000 tickets have already been sold.
It sounds fantastic, doesn't it, Optus Stadium? You just wonder, I guess theatre goers go to every grand final, don't they? You know, irrespective of the sport or the code. I'm sure the Tiddlywinks grand final will probably be a sellout. if that was being a ticketed event. You do wonder where all these fans have been when Glory are averaging about 10,000. So, you know, but anyway, I hope that they're able to harness the data, find out who all these new fans are and perhaps mail shot them before next season.
Michael Lynch, did you see the carnage last week in Sydney? What did you make of it? Sydney overrunning Victory.
Yeah,
I've never seen Victory cop a result like that before.
No, well, it was their worst defeat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Look, I just sometimes think there are car crashes, you know. There are some days when just everything is going to go wrong for you, and maybe in the same game, everything is going to go right for the opposition.
Correct.
And I just think that was one of those games, you know. You can't sort of junk an entire season or two or three seasons and, you know, crucify people's careers on the back of one bad day. Now, if they go out and lose 5 to Sydney next season a couple of times, yeah, you'd say there's a massive malaise there. But, everyone's entitled to, apart from Winks and Black Caviar, everyone seems to have at some point to have had a bad day at some stage, don't they, you know?
Correct.
And, look, you know, when Lawrence Thomas is making a blunder like that after 3 minutes, you know that maybe the odds are not in your favour. I think they were coming back into it. I think it all changed. Well, the significant moment for me, I think, Ola Toivonen has been terrific. He had a chance on the half-hour mark, and he just totally shanked it.
Yep.
Got in nowhere near goal, and I thought, that's it. This is not their night.
I think you're 100% off. I think you're 100% off. Tell me something. Do you have a prediction for the weekend result? Are you likely to say
that? I think Sydney will win, yeah.
Sydney?
Yeah.
To upset the home side?
Yeah.
Wow. There you go. Any stories that we're going to find out about very shortly on The Age?
Well, I've had a couple of days off, George. So
you're just cranking it up now, are you?
I'll be back on deck tomorrow. So maybe I might even see you at the Victory in Business Lunch. That'll be potentially a somber affair, won't it?
Two things. I'll see you tonight at the launch of the Encyclopedia of Matildas.
Yeah.
You will not see me at the business lunch at Victory. I don't have a problem.
A
city, I just don't get an invitation.
I just don't get an invite.
They seem to think that I spend my time trolling them. I don't really.
I thought you were ecumenical. There you are.
Michael Lynch, thanks very much for joining us on FNR.
No problem. Cheers, then. Bye.
There you go, Louise.
He thinks
I'm ecumenical.
Yes.
I'm feeling a bit chuffed after that. Yeah, sit there. That's me.
But
call me St. George.
George.
Sorry, yes.
Thinks Sydney FC are going to win the grand final. Do you agree with him?
Look, I spoke to Jacob Burns.
Did you?
Just a moment ago.
When did that happen?
And I'm thinking I would hate to see Jacob disappointed. They've done so much good work this year. But, you know, the game is a cruel game. It's like you toss a coin and how it comes down you don't know. There are so many indications that Sydney is flying, but they've got to fly to the other end of the world, to the other end of Australia. They've got to settle, and they've got to front. Look, the first 15 minutes will give me a very good idea who's going to be the winner. But by golly, let me just tell you, after the last two results, you'd have to be a little, insensitive to say, this side is going to win with such confidence. But that's Michael. Michael likes to get out there and fire the bullets. Let's see who's close. I'm actually thinking Sydney might upset them.
Really?
No, I'll go Perth. I'll go the home side. But you see, it's not really their home. They're playing at Optus Stadium. It's not their home ground.
And as we heard from Jacob, it is a harder pitch.
Oh, it's a firmer pitch, and they've got to water it, all right? Athos Syrianos and Nick DiBano and Josh Parrish would have got the hoses out, you know, for an extra 24 hours and made sure that they were right, because they demand a proper playing surface to see an outstanding contest, and that's what the game deserves. It it should be not only our showpiece event, but it should be breathtaking to watch. And I hope we get an epic. I hope we get to see a bit of something that happened at NIB when Adelaide gave it everything it could, bar a little bit of tension in the penalty area, you know. Look, when you see the goalkeeper making saves and then taking a penalty and winning, scoring it, and then get back there saying, what more can you do? It's the sort of mind game that shows you that he wasn't going to be beaten readily.
Joel Chianese said he thought Liam was going to take all the penalties.
What you mean he didn't? Look, he was chuffed. We've got a seriously interesting match coming up on Sunday, and I trust we have a fantastic game, a classic, one that we'll remember for years to come. It is a special moment. It's Perth Glory going for all the chips at Optus Stadium up against a red-hot Sydney side that for the last two or three years has been the best team in the A-League. And don't worry about Victory's grand final result last year. If you think on the surface, the results over the last three or four years, Sydney have been a fantastic team, and they've had some marvellous results, and they've got some terrific players. Let's see what happens. I hope the referee and VAR doesn't contribute in any way other than positively. You have a prediction, because I know you like to do it.
I'm going to say Perth Glory at home.
Athos Syrianos, if he was in the room, which way would he go?
He would say Perth Glory.
Wow. Okay. Easily led. The Lions Den, don't forget tonight from 8 o'clock with Josh Parrish. They've got some special guests, and I'm looking forward to getting away and catching up to see what Andrew Howe and, more importantly, what Greg Werner have to say when we launch their book, Encyclopedia of the Matildas.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.